Hold on. Let me see. Oh, all right. Here we go. Can we count around, Joel?
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
I use the bathroom.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies at a Lincoln Bath. For the show link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC challenge at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 990 of the Linux Link Tech Show, the last show for January 2023. On the show tonight, we have...
It's February.
Oh, is it? Oh my gosh! Where was I? February. First show for February 2023. Whoa. Man, I somehow lost a day at work.
Tomorrow's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, on the show tonight, we have Heavy Metal Pat.
Happy February.
Easy listening, Joel.
Right. Hey, man.
And Frozen Fingers, Joe.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's frozen this week.
Yeah. So, I believe I spoke briefly last week about migrating to Generation 2 functions, Google Cloud, and we completed it last week. Worked. It was a lot of finessing with permissions. Made me think that this stuff is like, at times, hodgepodge of how they throw this shit together. It amazes me that anybody gets it to work sometimes. It was kind of a slight fiasco, but when we got it working, it was working and everybody was happy. And then we noticed that the logs, they kind of changed the logging structure of the Generation 2 functions, whereas in the past we were able to tie stuff together, we weren't able to easily tie it together, or so, the first impression was that when you are executing thousands of functions a minute and you have logging in place, and as I would say every function run generates 3 log entries unless there's an error, providing us with ample information that we can usually trace it. And there was no apparent way at first to tie all this together. But I did notice that it appeared Google had better implemented OpenTelemetry into this Generation 2 function, which allowed for tracing. And lo and behold, all that had to be done was to grab the trace ID out of the cloud event object that is generated by the kickoff of the function and add that into the logging command. And lo and behold, we were able to provide a full capture of all the logs for that specific function event, which I was very happy with, to be able to do that. And I chalked that up to having done significant amount of OpenTelemetry work a few months back, instrumenting one of our applications as an example. For those who may not recall, OpenTelemetry is a tracing stack driver kind of tool, which you can do a bunch of different things with it, gathering metrics where it will give you a whole bunch of different things. Like if you add it in there, it'll take function execution times, how long it took for
objects and classes and functions to perform.
Or to complete. It will give you memory information if you wanted to, CPU utilization. But in this case, it was primarily used for tying the log events together. And then I went back and I was like, I wonder if they have tracing for generation one functions. Cause they seem to do an all right job implementing it in generation two. And then what do I see the moment I look at the log entries for a generation one function? That there is the exact same thing to trace the logs. And I'm like, ah, well, that's pretty cool. I guess I need to tie these logs together. Nope, I don't. They were already tied together. And I'm like, what the hell happens? If they can get it working in generation one and I didn't have to do anything else, why couldn't they do the same thing in generation two? Why, Joel? Why?
I have no idea, man.
I don't know either. So it was like the past week has been like banging my head against the wall on those things. And then today, I got a little excited, but then it turned into a whole lot of frustration. VIP announced that they are moving from MariaDB 10 to MySQL 8. Most places I recall usually went the other direction, but yeah. They're going to MySQL 8. And so MariaDB 10 kind of has parity with MySQL 5. So the thought was, well, if they're moving to MySQL, we should probably make sure that our development environment is also, our local development environment is also using MySQL, the same database, right? That makes sense. And, you know, kind of the more I thought about it is that I don't think we really need to worry about it, largely because we're not making any direct calls to the database. It's all through WordPress functions that we interact with the database. So it's their framework. So if there would be a problem with going to MySQL, it would be on the WordPress side, not so much on our code side. But be that as it may, we're using varying vagrants, which is a really nice tool, and it does not have support for MySQL in there. Like, out of the box, you're only getting MariaDB, and there's no easy way to get MySQL in there. You can write an extension to install MySQL. People have requested that. It has gone nowhere. So that kind of bummed me out. So to write an extension to do that would be a significant amount of work. Also, it would make it a little more difficult for us to automate it, because then we would have to get that custom extension in there. Not too much more. I mean, it can be done, obviously, but it would just kind of be a pain in the butt. And they're looking at moving to MySQL 8 in February, which we're already in. So that's not a lot of time to do this. Now, on the other hand, I have spoken in the past about the wonderful tool that VIP offers. The local development tool that they support is the one that they created. And I stand by my statement that it works fantastic. Whereas Varying Vagrants, VVV, is going to takes roughly 15 minutes to 25 minutes to go from having nothing with the script I created, going from having nothing to have it completely up and running, everything compiled and everything ready to go. With the VIP tool, it takes about 5 minutes, if that. It's using Docker containers, and it's tying it together with, I can't remember the tool that they're using. The only problem is, and this is largely on our end, ran into a bunch of blockers. First blocker was that because we're using Okta for single sign-on, and it's integrated with our local development too, because it's integrated throughout this whole thing, there's a return URL that has to be set on the Okta side so that when you authenticate to Okta, it comes back, says, yes, you are authenticated, and it has the redirection URL that it needs to go back to. And VVV allows us to set a domain, any domain we want, to come back to. And it was decided upon that we're going to use gannett.test. So in Okta, it's set up for gannett.test. Now, with the VIP tool, it doesn't allow you to create a custom domain. You can't name it whatever you want. It follows a strict pattern of what you can give it a custom name, but then the rest of the domain is set in stone. It's like .test.dev.whatever. I don't know. But it doesn't follow our custom domain standards that we're using in VVV. So that's the first hurdle right there that I have to hit again. Like, I can get this thing up and running, but I can't log into it because of the one login Okta integration will keep coming back and saying, I can't log me in, because it can't redirect back to my local instance of WordPress. No matter what I've tried to do, it won't work. So that was like strike one. And then I went and tested VVV by switching it, the domain that's created, to the domain that the VIP tool would use. And that works, right? Not that I could log in, but I get to the same point, right? Theoretically, if we wanted to start migration switching to this tool, we could just change the redirect URL to what the VIP tool expects. The only thing that people would have to do until we get it completely vetted out and ready to go is just change their VVV config, the domain, to go to that new URL, new domain. And it should work perfectly, right? Then the second hurdle comes into play, and that is Docker Desktop. This tool is pretty heavily reliant on Docker, and Docker Desktop changed their licensing a few months ago that if you are a company that has more than like 100 employees and makes I forget what it is, like a couple $100,000 a year in revenue or profit, something like that, that you can't use the public version of Docker Desktop. You have to license it, either the corporate version or the team version. And I get it. Yeah, I guess I get it. The only downside, I look at that and I look at the license and say, like, there's a whole lot of more features that you get from the team and the, like, the corporate version that we're never going to use. Like, we're perfectly fine with the free and open source one, or I don't want to call it open source, but the free for use by open source projects one, or the community one. Like, we're perfectly fine with what that has to offer, because all, you know, we don't use it that heavily or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of stuck with that. Now, Rancher Desktop, which SUSE makes, works really well. Like, for just about everything I've used it for the stuff that we do regularly, it works great. But it does not work well with this VIP tool. It's about 95% there, but that 5% that's not is like a huge deal breaker. And it has to do with like a couple of funky things, like the networking? No, I think it's the storage engine that they're using They're supposed to be switching it, but it has problems when it tries to access like local files and mount stuff into the container. You start getting like all these permission denied errors and stuff, and you can switch it to use that other storage engine. It's Lima is the open source technology underneath it, and you have to go into like I had to keep digging around until I finally found a posting that said if you go into on OS X under libraries in your home directory, libraries, application support, Rancher desktop, lowercase Rancher desktop. I think then it's Lima config, and then you add an override.yaml file and specify the storage engine in there to use. Then I get past two of the three errors. And then the other one, like, I don't know about that error. It's like a permission denied thing when it's trying to do something after it's all been set up. I don't know what the impact of that error would be because it seems to be up and running fine, but I'm blocked by the Okta stuff to completely verify it, which is unfortunate. And then I noticed that their tool is using MariaDB, not MySQL. So I was like, well, maybe we could just bag this whole idea and continue using with what we have. I asked VPS, are you guys, since you're moving to MySQL 8, are you going to update your VIP? And they're like, yes, we're working on that now. It's going to be released soon. So I'm like, shit, I got to really, double down and figure this out. The other problem I had was that it was assigning it on to access through port 8,444, which makes it again difficult for us to use the Okta stuff because we don't want the redirect URL having to set a port in there. And the documentation specifically says the port can change depending on if there's other services running on the default ports. But by default, according to their documentation, it should be running on port 80 and port 443, the standard ports. But it wasn't for me, and that baffled me until I found out why it wasn't running on port 80 and 443. Because port 80 was being taken up by Rancher Desktop, and their load balancer in there was doing like an SSH, internal SSH call to port 80 it was running on. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So there was a checkbox in there that you can disable that. And I did that and I was able to get it up and running on the ports I wanted. Again, the only thing, I think what it comes down to, and they're going to have to bite the bullet because if they don't want this thing to be a kludge to put together, they're going to have to license for Docker desktop. I don't think it's really that expensive. It starts, the team license starts at, I think it's like $5 a person per month, $25 a month, $300 a year for that. So if we're looking at like 10 people, it's like $600 a year. That's a drop in the bucket compared to Couchbase, which is like a shit ton of money. Let's just say that that's not even the tax on the Couchbase license. I don't think it was for a year of Docker desktop, but we'll see. I don't know. Maybe next week I'll come back and say, yeah, they agreed to do that. And we're riding high and dry on that. Now, to close out the last bit of thing from last week, you were correct, Joel. You set me on the path of enlightenment. I did not see Team Soda. I saw Starry by Pepsi. I got a little, one of the six packs of the small cans just to try it out. I took a couple sips of it, gave it to my wife and It was, I thought it tasted well. It was a lot, I believe it was a lot more sweeter than I remember Sierra Mist being. And
same here.
It wasn't that bad. I don't know why
Seems like it's gotten so sweet lately. It's kind of disgusting. Yeah. Maybe we're just old.
Sweet sodas and sour beers. I don't get it.
Yeah. It's the other thing that don't get me wrong. I like Dr. Pepper, but I just saw this week they're releasing a strawberries and cream Dr. Pepper, and I thought, I don't know how that would work.
Oh, you know what's coming for the Super Bowl, Joel? You'll like this.
No.
It is a Hormel chili cheese beer.
Ew.
Yes. Chili cheese beer.
Ew.
I think a 4-pack of it's like $27. You can get it from Hormel. But cheese flavored beer.
Why?
That's what I said.
I think that we had this conversation a couple of years ago about the different flavored beers that like came out for Thanksgiving where you could get like an entire Thanksgiving beer.
That was Jones's soda.
No, that was Jones's soda, yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay, it was soda, not beer.
Yeah, still,
but
well,
I think that they were doing the same thing with beer even back then. And the flavors of soda and the flavors of beer, a little disturbing.
Yeah, it's just like
Guinness is basically, you know, bread that's been turned into beer.
You could turn a Guinness, and the brewery right next to me did it, turn a Guinness into a Thin Mint. They have a Thin Mint stout. Yes. Exact same sentiment, Joe. They also make a breakfast beer. It is a Cinnabon breakfast beer, and it tastes like... It tastes like somebody dropped a Cinnabon into a glass of orange juice and let it ferment.
Ugh.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
Oh, man. Well, that's like,
just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right?
It's like, it's just like Taco Bell has wings again, and I'm like, why? I'm like, what's funny is there's a local group, you know, local like city group here that I'm a part of. And, probably the most often posted things are if, the Arby's has ran out of beef, which usually the answer is yes. So McDonald's ran out of large cups. I'm like, I don't give a rat's ass. I'm like, I don't order large drinks at McDonald's. I usually get medium.
you don't supersize it?
No. But the wings came up in one of the discussions because I think what was happening was when you'd order at Taco Bell, I'm guessing at the drive-thru probably is where this happened, they would throw in a couple wings just for you to try.
Really?
I think. I don't know, because she said she didn't order them, and I'm like, well, how were they? because that's one thing. I will ask why still, but when I think about it, is if they put like a Mexican flavor on them, that might actually be not too bad.
Well, but, Joel, I don't want to cut you off, but I did go to Taco Bell the other day because my wife's like, bring home something to eat.
Right.
I'm like, all right, fine, I'll get it.
You went to Taco Bell for that?
And I
why not?
They've gotten rid of most of their good menu?
Well, you know, pretty much what I get at Taco Bell is usually a bean burrito.
Right.
Hmm.
And the neighbors were over, so I got a 10-pack of tacos, I got a bean burrito, and I got another burrito, I forget what it was, that I shared with my wife. And then I was like, I'm gonna try them, I got the wings, there is no Mexican seasoning on the wings.
Well, that's kinda dumb then.
I gotta give them credit. I give them credit the fact that
it's
like Taco Bell, why the hell do they have wings? I didn't even know Taco Bell had a fryer. I don't know how,
fries. You got nacho fries?
Yeah.
I guess so.
They have the, they used to fry the, tortillas.
Cinnamon. Yeah, the cinnamon,
churros.
Yeah, well, instead of the, they went to the Cinnamon Twist now, which is definitely not made at the store, because I can literally buy those at Sam's Club.
Yeah, they were never made at the store. I remember I worked at Taco Bell for a little bit. They came in a big bag.
But the twists, yes, but not the crispas things. They used to make something called cinnamon crispas where they cut up the tortilla and deep fry those.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That was a long time ago though.
Yeah, but the wings, they weren't bad. Right. I've had some really bad wings. They weren't dried out. They were all right. Little on the expensive side. It was $7 for six wings, $7.98 or something like that for six wings. Would I get them again? No. If I want wings, I'll go somewhere. I'll either make it myself or go somewhere that.
I'll go to Hooters.
Yeah. Hooters. Hooters has, well, it depends on which Hooters. It depends on which one you go to. Because some of them are good. Yeah, a lot of them are bad.
I haven't been to a Hooters in like 15 years or so, but when I did last go to Hooters, you know, it was good. The wings were good.
And the scenery wasn't bad either, but anyway.
You know, I was younger at the time, and yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, I had, like the one down in Knoxville where my brother and my dad live, they're excellent. So I mean, they were really good. Now, up here, I'd probably go to Roosters, which is, you know, not far from the house here. It's a local chain. The one nice thing they'll let you do is they'll let you mix their sauces. So like, say you wanted some spice, but you wanted a little bit of an Asian or teriyaki kind of, wang to it. You can have them mix like one of the hot sauces with the teriyaki sauce. Or something like that. So you can come up with, there's a bunch of different combinations, but they are probably the best ones. The ones we got at, there is a pop-up at the Bob's Big Boy here called Wing Depot. They're not bad either. The only kind of criticism I have of those is they only give you the sauce on the sides. On the side, which is, I guess, okay, because then you can choose which sauce you want in each wing. So, because they'll send you like three or four different sauces. But B-Dubs isn't bad, but I usually get the boneless ones when I'm there, which are tendies, really. But Taco Bell would not be the first place I would go to for wings. It's like back when McDonald's had salads. When you go to McDonald's,
don't they still have salads?
No, not at all. Trust me, I looked a couple times. McDonald's salads, even the ones they did have when they had them were pretty
not little good. Tiny salads that cost $7. No thanks.
Yeah. Well, especially since those ones are usually what I think it was just like. You got radishes and tomatoes, maybe some onion, and that's about it.
They wanted something healthy on the menu, but they didn't want to actually sell it.
Right, or make it. I have to look and see if the Burger King has salads. They used to. Hell, I remember in the 80s they had salad bars. But I did try the
Wendy's Super Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Back in there. Yeah, but let's face it. When you went to the Wendy's Super Bar, you didn't get salad. You got tacos. You got pizza. Mediocre pizza. You got, what was the other things they had there? Pasta. They had different pasta there, too. Yeah. So it's like the pizza you get is probably not as good as a... What is that, a CC's pizza?
What about CC's pizza?
I said the pizza at the Wendy's Super Bar was not even as good as that as CC's pizza.
Well, again, do you go to Wendy's for pizza or you go to Wendy's for
burgers? Or chicken sandwiches. I will say the chicken sandwiches they have are decent. like the mozzarella one, which is.
I'm gonna get the bourbon burger if I go there.
I always like the bacon pub one they had with the pretzel bun.
Well, they do have that right now. Yep. No, but I did want to mention that the Taco Bell, the nacho fries, yeah, those are worth.
Those are. They are. Nacho fries are delicious. Don't bother with, like, they have the, don't they have, like, a super nacho, like, one where they're, like, just drenched in stuff, too? I forget.
Yeah, nachos aren't worth it. Their nachos are not worth it.
Yeah, just get the simple fries with the nacho cheese dip.
And Wendy's has different types of fries now. They have their pub-style fries, which my wife says... It's good, but the only one I had was the garlic fries, and I was not impressed. Basically, it was olive oil and a little bit of garlic thrown on top of fries, and it really didn't do a lot for me.
I've had the Baconator fries, and they're kind of meh. Coated in goo. And I'd never, even though I really like Chick-fil-A sandwiches, I don't really care for the fries at Chick-fil-A. I'll eat them, but the waffle fries are, they're just a vehicle for stuff.
Yeah?
Like, their sauce. Polynesian sauce or Chick-fil-A sauce. But, yeah, it's been a good week with In the Kitchen. We made I made a keto meatloaf in a crock pot one day. And then today was, steak fajitas in the crock pot. But, cause, you know, you're usually cooking it for a long period of time. It basically was more or less like shredded beef with peppers and onions and taco-y, like, flavorings. It was good. You know, I'd make it again. But, trying to cook more, just because, like, one thing I've kind of noticed is, and I don't necessarily, I think I get the Grubhub Plus with my Amazon, which also went up to Amazon, Prime was $149 this year. The most it's ever been. But I'd still pay it because it's worth it for the shipping alone on most of the stuff. And all this you can watch. Like, what did I watch the other day on Prime Video? There's a lot more. Seems like there was a lot more 80s movies on there lately.
On where?
Prime Video. For free. Oh, I watched Jurassic Park, the last in the Dominion, or Jurassic World Dominion. That was pretty good. I liked it. It was the last one in the series, the one where they brought back Dr. Sadler and I forget Sam Neill's character from the original Jurassic Park. But those two those two and then Jeff Goldblum's Ian Malcolm.
Jurassic World Dominion. Okay, I do see that.
Yeah. That was free, and it was totally worth the view. It was really good. Really well done.
I still want to watch Samaritan. I haven't watched that yet.
I haven't. That's the only one of the Dominion series that I've watched. I might have to go back and watch the other two.
Escape from New York is on there.
Yeah, I saw that. There was
Running
another
Man.
One I saw. Yes, that's the other one I watched the other night. Yeah.
Lucky Number 11. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
Yep.
Oh, Indiana Jones movies are on there.
Yep. YouTube Premium has a bunch of 80s stuff lately, too.
I don't have YouTube Premium to check that out.
But, Lots of streaming stuff. I bought a Magic Mouse 2 for my Mac, Dan.
How much did that cost?
It was about $80.
Jeez, $80. And what's it do for you, that a $5 mouse?
Well, instead of a scroll wheel, you just swipe on top of the mouse to do your scrolling. And one kind of nice feature that it has is you can double tap, not double click, but double tap on the mouse, and it'll do like a zoom in right wherever your mouse is. The only kind of, there's two things I don't really like about it, is the ergonomics are shit because it's really thin. I'm getting used to it. It doesn't really hurt when I use it, but it does feel odd.
Yeah, your mouse shouldn't hurt you, man. That was
No, and it's nowhere near as bad as the Puck mouse that they came out with the original IMAX.
Oh, but, I remember those things, man.
Yeah, those are awful. But
they had the cord for that coming out of the front, wasn't it?
On that?
On the Puck? On,
yeah, it was out the front, yeah. But you could, yeah, no matter where you grabbed it, like, if you grabbed it wrong, you didn't feel the cord, chances are you're not holding it right. This one, you can't hold it wrong, like, you can hold it backwards and the buttons won't work. You can turn on a actual, secondary button, but it's not really a secondary button, it's just, you click in a place where the secondary button would be. It works as a secondary button. And the weird thing, the nice thing is it's rechargeable, alright? The bad thing is where you recharge it. You flip it over on its back and you plug the lightning cable into the back of it, which is like dumb. They could have really made a smart design choice and put the charge cable out the front and make it also work as a wired mouse when you're waiting for the charge, but did they do that? No. But,
no, you just buy another one. So you have one charging and you got another one to go.
Oh, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I'd probably buy a little bit more ergonomic Logitech mouse. I will say this, it is actually one of the better Bluetooth mice I've used, so it tracks real well, and the main reason I bought it was the other mouse I do have is a travel mouse as well, which is taller, but a little bit smaller in some ways, so it's not quite, it's taller than the Magic Mouse 2, which is the one I have, but it's smaller in every other direction, all right? And it also requires a dongle, okay? So because the Brainiacs at Apple decided we're not going to put USB-A into our laptops anymore, in order for me to use that mouse when I was out and about, I would have to bring along the dongle, which is not something I want to do if I'm on call. you know. So, and we'll see how that works, because I am on call this week, 8 to 8. And probably the only time I'll really carry it anywhere is like when I go to church on Sunday or when we go to the store Saturday usually. We usually do Sam's Club on Friday. So I probably won't carry the laptop then, because usually the page volume's pretty light between 5 and 8 on Fridays. You know, but yeah, so that was one thing I did. There's something else I was doing technically wise that I wanted to talk about. I can't remember what it was. Oh, have you guys, any of you guys tried ChatGPT yet?
No, I keep hearing people mentioning it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's by the company OpenAI, and right now I think it's free to try. But you can do things like, you can say, give me a bash script that does this, and it attempts to write the bash script for you. or you can say, give me, I want 100 words on the history of pizza or something like that, and it'll give you a paragraph that it writes. And you got some people that are saying they think ChatGPT is going to put Google out of business, which I don't really think so, because it's not really a search engine. It's more like, you know, you can get answers from it and search for things.
Going to put Google out of business?
Yeah, I don't really think so.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
But, okay. I mean, Google is a monster, and if they could even provide competition to Google, that would be awesome.
Right. And I don't think they can, because it's designed as an AI, it's not so much as a search engine, you know. So, and I've also, in a couple ways, like when I say, give me a bash script that'll go out and check the Bitcoin price or something like that, or I actually did it with Python, and the code they gave me didn't work. Same thing for, like, you know, I want a script that'll retrieve the weather. In that case, it was wanting to use the weather API, which you need to – I don't think you have to purchase an API key, but you have to get an API key. I think at some point you do have to purchase it if you have so many API calls. So then you have to, but and it's like, well, you know, you can't just go find it on NOAA.gov. Yeah. So, I mean, I that kind of stuff, you know, it, a lot of the stuff I've seen it do is pretty all, it's not great. I mean, it might be a good starting point. I will say this, there have been students that have tried to use this to write papers for school. Not a good idea. Especially if your school uses anti-plagiarism tools. Like, I know the school my son goes to does do that. Because they even...
Supposed to. I mean, it's really easy to get your hands on, so...
Well, the only downside with the software that most of them are using is my wife quoted properly a book, part of the book in her paper, and it flagged her for plagiarism, even though it was properly quoted and cited.
Yeah, I've also seen people get in trouble for, you know, using their own work that previously had been... expanding on their own previous work and get hit for plagiarism. Obviously, it's not plagiarism if it's, you know, your own work.
I mean, those tools are dubious, but people have been caught using by those tools when they use ChatGPT to use.
Sure, they've also been caught actually, you know, plagiarizing people, but they're trying out just using the easiest way to find things out, not doing any follow-up themselves, so if it flags, well, you're in trouble.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the truth is, they just want it simple.
I will say this, like if you're trying to learn a language, it might not be a horrible idea to try using ChatGPT to help you write something.
Or use it to check.
Yeah.
You know, you do your own translation and write it all down, and you don't have anybody to ask to compare it to, and then you have the chat AI or ChatGPT do it or whatever it's called.
Right. But, like, I tried a couple examples. Like I said, write me a program in BASIC that does this. Yeah, it will do that. a lot of times, though, depending on which BASIC you're using, so you're using BASIC on the Atari 800XL or BASIC on the Commodore 64, the code it gives you may not work.
Right. Tell it to do it in Fortran and see what it says.
Yeah. Oh, I ought to see what it would do if I'd said, give me a COBOL program to calculate interest.
Tell it to do it in assembly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that there's so many different kinds of assemblies. So,
exactly. That's my point.
Yeah. So I don't think it's really interesting tool, but I don't think it's in danger of replacing Google because ChatGPT isn't a search engine. It's an AI. So, and it can look at resources on the web. It just, it's not very good at it.
Yet. Give it time.
Yeah.
It's AI. It learns. It grows.
I'll say yet. Yeah. Well. But are we ever growing closer to Skynet?
I'm sure we will one day, but it's not the concern that everybody seems to think it is.
No, it's not.
You know, unless we program it to be a bastard, then, you know, that's not going to be a bastard.
Right. Or like some people say, program it to be Elon Musk, but, you know, I digress.
Well,
I don't think Elon's a bastard.
I think any type of person that makes billions and billions of dollars has to be some kind of asshole.
Yeah.
But I don't think... he might be a genius, but I think he was in a lot of times in the right place at the right time and had people beneath him that could manage his eccentricities well enough to meet goals.
Yep. I'd agree with that. But it's just funny watching certain sections of the world, you know, of society just kind of losing their crap when he bought it. You know, it's just like, I'm like,
he knew he screwed up.
In some cases, yes.
No, when it came to Twitter specifically, he made the offer, you know, they set up the deal and then basically the market dropped out of everything. And
right.
It was worth half of what he was supposed to be paying for it. So
right.
He tried desperately to get out of it and then got forced into paying what he said he was going to pay. And he knew that he was in over his head. And instead of, you know, bringing someone else in that knows what the hell they're doing to manage it, he tried doing it and just throws out random ideas, seeing what sticks to the wall.
You
and
know what, though? I give him credit for that. Yeah. People are going to hate and or love what he does depending on what it is in some cases. In some cases, they're just going to hate what he does at all.
Yeah,
but
regardless.
I throwing it against the wall and see what sticks, I'm a full big fan of that. Mm. Yeah, it's going to be fucked up for a while, but
That's something you do with like a startup. That's not something you do with something that's as established as Twitter. Very, very established is Twitter.
It's very, very established, but it's very, very not made money.
that might be the case, but you don't want to, you know, disenfranchise your user base and fire half of your people and then convince another half of what's left to leave.
Yeah. But it's just like why I don't really feel too sorry for the folks at Google that lost some of their jobs. You know, yeah, it sucks, but it's like you guys
had a lot better than
a lot of folks have.
I really get the feeling that a lot of your tech companies that have had these major firings are panicking early.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, trying to make their profit margin look higher to convince the people that own the stocks that they've made more money that they have or they're valued higher than they are. But I think that with the market the way that it's been, they are really, really panicking early on that. And it's causing ripple effects throughout every other tech scene. I don't know about your company, but any other company that hires anybody in tech right now basically has a hiring freeze, which I don't understand. Oh,
yeah,
you guys don't?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, yeah, we don't. I will say that there have been some people let go, but it hasn't been cogs.
Right. You know, we're not firing people.
Right.
We're just not hiring people. And right. Now it seems like would be the time you would want to hire people since all right. Those lovely Google people just hit the market.
Yeah, you have a chance of picking up some, well.
Talent on a budget.
Possibly talent on a budget. Yeah, it just depends on where you're, yeah, cause it depends on what company you work for, you know, Google, yeah, you're probably got some talent in there, you know, Amazon, maybe, you know, Twitter was overloaded to begin with, you know.
Yeah, well,
you know.
Those guys, I don't know about, but I'm right. Looking Twitter's layoffs were for completely different scenario.
Absolutely.
But yeah, when it comes to like Microsoft layoffs, Google layoffs, right. Anything like that, I just think it's market panic at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I don't think, you know, I do think that, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny about what some of these companies are going to be doing. So just because they of who they are and what they are, but big tech.
Yeah.
So and then I'll see another story would, cause Apple never did have any layoffs and they're praising Tim Cook. I'm like, come on. Maybe when the pandemic happened, he didn't go on a hire spree like everybody else did.
Yeah, well, some companies did that, but right. I'm sure Apple, like a lot of your companies that wanted to be able to say that they didn't fire anybody,
yeah.
Basically quit hiring people directly yes. And only allowed contractors.
Yes.
So you bring in a large influx of contractors and then when you need to get your margin looking correct, you can release a whole bunch of contractors. And it makes it look like you're doing more with less. And
mm-hmm.
you still can say, we have not fired a single Bank of America employee or whatever company mm-hmm. employee.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been pretty blessed lately. So I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not living in fear of my job like some people seem to be.
Plus
with
marketing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I kind of want to do the whole job hunt thing, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of that last in, first out thing.
Yep.
Always concerning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. But...
Well, I installed Windows on a tablet yesterday.
I'm sorry.
I had to take Linux off of it. One of my Dell Latitudes. I haven't used it in a little while. It's still got a really good processor in it and a really good screen.
Right.
But the wife needed a tablet, and she prefers to work with Windows.
And you make the wife happy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's easier than buying her own device, and that one was just sitting there collecting yep. dust.
As long as it does what she wants it to do, you're fine.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Right.
The first, like, major hurdle there is Windows makes it really difficult to create a USB that you can use to install Windows with.
If you don't have Windows, yes.
I no, as a matter of fact, I tried their USB maker.
Oh, their tool sucked?
I tried their tool, and it would not load. Or it partially loaded, but a whole bunch of drivers were missing or something.
See,
so,
I've never had that problem. So I
did.
Huh.
In the end, you know, I tried Rufus. Rufus didn't work, which is also something you have to do from Windows
right.
side. I tried Belina Etcher. I tried, what else? Woe USB, which I guess their newest iteration doesn't work right. with Windows anymore. In the end, what actually worked was Ventoy, which is weird because I've never been able to get Ventoy to actually work before. And this time it just, you know, easily did what it was supposed to. So
and it booted fine. Okay.
And it just booted straight up. It booted into Ventoy first, and then I told it, hey, boot into the Windows image that I got dumped there, and it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And Windows loaded and installed, and no further problems after that. The only issue that Jackie has with the device is the on-screen keyboard doesn't always pop up. So I guess that's just like a ubiquitous problem across like all operating systems.
Interesting. I will say this, my corporate Mac got upgraded to Ventura OS on Sunday. I upgraded it. I'm trying to remember what I was looking at it for. I think I might have been checking my email, just because I like to do that sometimes on Sunday night, just to make sure I'm not walking into a disaster area, if you know what I mean. So I hit the update button in the settings, and it asked me, hey, you can upgrade to Ventura. I'm like, yeah, please. It's only been out for a few months now. it not only did it do that, but it also patched it all the way up to 13.2, which is the latest version. So, and other than the differences in the settings menu, I also tested, because you can, since I have an iPhone, that's my work phone, you can plug your iPhone into your MacBook and use it as a webcam. That worked pretty well, and it's kind of handy, too, because I can hold my phone up closer to the window, even though I did have to cable it to do that. I don't know if it works for Bluetooth or not, but...
Well, no, it's probably not going to work for Bluetooth. Probably you don't pass not. Enough data with Bluetooth. Right. But it can work. Well, I don't know about with iPhone, but with right. Android, you have this lovely thing called DroidCam, and that'll work
yes.
Over Wi-Fi.
Yep. I actually should try that with my old Moto Z Force, which I still have.
It works really good with the Note 10.
Yeah. But like I said, it's working fine. I've tried, and a lot of the things that are in it are things I'll just never use. You know, like giving you the ability to share your iPhoto stuff via iCloud with anybody. I don't use the photo stuff in iCloud. I do have an iCloud account because I want to back my phone up, you know. But
your photos automatically get backed up.
Yeah. But, you know, so those ones, yeah, you know, a lot of the features in it really didn't pertain to me. There's other things that I would like to try, but you can't buy the equipment to try it now because it got really popular, and that is you can secure your iCloud account with YubiKey now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so now granted, with your phone and iPads, you want to use the YubiKey that has the NFC stuff built into it. Unfortunately, the ones that do, of the YubiKeys that do work with that,
they're all stupid expensive?
Well, they're not actually stupid expensive. They're actually sold out. because all the iFans are buying them. So
all the Apple fangirls.
Yeah. So if you were at all late to the game, which is basically 2 seconds after the ability hit phones and other devices from Apple, you know, that stuff's gone now, at least temporarily. I have been meaning to try a YubiKey just because it's really interesting technology to me.
I use one for work.
Even though it's really stupid simple, you know, because it's really just an HID. Well, that's how it was, a human interface device. So that's how it was for a long time. They've added stuff to it over the
keyboard,
years.
Keyboard, timer.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
it.
Yep. So, I mean, it's really simple. even with the stuff, the NFC chips they've added to some of them, it's still really simple. So
a
keyboard,
timer, and a time-based random number generator.
Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of companies, like when I first joined Illusion, we did have the RSA key fobs. I don't think I was there maybe a year or two, when they ditched those and went to, using, the Okta authenticator. So, and that works fairly well. So, but, that's something that might be useful for Mac heads is securing your iCloud account that way. And you can still use MFA with it, so that also seems to work pretty well.
Well, that is MFA.
Yeah, essentially. But you can use different kinds of it. You don't have to use the UDP.
Oh, like Authy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like time-based.
Or like you use Google Authenticator with, what do I use with WordPress? I use it with, Google Authenticator also has a second factor for my Okta. Or like a backup one. So if I, for some reason, can't get the authenticator up on my phone, I can use Google Authenticator to plug the second factor in, I use it with Amazon, and that's, you know, like the recent, security issues, like with LastPass and a few of the other things, you know, if you haven't gone to two-factor wherever it's supported, you should.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had people tell me that, you know, two-factor authentication is not perfect. It can still be gotten around. Well, yeah, it's true. It can be gotten around with a lot more work. And,
more work.
Yeah, anything can be gotten around and hacked into eventually.
Yes.
But what you're doing by adding two-factor authentication is not being the low-hanging fruit.
Yep, exactly.
They will go for somebody else unless you are a target for whatever reason.
Now, you want to do a password store, have a place where you keep your passwords. I recommend don't use an online one like LastPass or 1Password or I forget all the other ones there are. Use KeyPass. KeyPass is a local file. It's a local file. You can load it on your phone if you wanted to.
That also means that if something happens and you don't have proper backups, that you have lost everything and it's completely non-recoverable.
Truth on that. Ask me how I know.
Everybody makes that mistake sooner or later.
Yeah. You can also, the nice thing about KeyPass is you can also make it two-factor too. You can make it have that, you use the password and then the thing you have, which is a key. So, or you can just have the key, which, not a good
idea.
That's
a dead, isn't it?
But,
Oh wait, no, you said KeyPass.
No, KeyPass. Which is entirely local and open source. And there's also, if you're really anal about it and want to keep that secure, I think Veracrypt is still a thing, isn't it?
I thought that went away a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think it was TrueCrypt. Veracrypt's open source.
Wait,
Veracrypt
which one?
A fork of TrueCrypt, doesn't it?
Wait, what went away a couple of years ago? Did you say KeyPass went away?
I thought it was Veracrypt.
No, Veracrypt's still there. In fact, let's see. When was the last update? 2022, December. So TrueCrypt was the other one that went away.
Oh, yeah. The nice thing about January is it's really easy to figure out all the year-to-date averages.
Yep. Yeah, TrueCrypt is open source as well, but I don't think it's gotten an update. I think it's been vulnerable for a while.
I had Monday and Tuesday off, so today was my first day back at work this week, and it also is, you know, the first day of February. So I'm doing all of the metrics for year to date. And yeah. Trying to get it all done today. That didn't work out. I'll have to work on it more tomorrow. But yeah, the data polls get to be a little bit insane, but yeah, figuring out all the stuff just for January. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it a whole lot easier.
That's true.
I don't know if you guys have worked with Tableau.
With who?
With who?
Tableau.
Oh, Tableau.
Yeah. Yes.
We have. I tried not to.
Yeah. What's Tableau?
Basically, well, for us, it pulls in data from Remedy. And I think it also pulls in from MyCTO, but I don't know what the back end for MyCTO is. So, and it just tells me about all the different tickets for, like, either tech debt or demand management or basically incidents. It'll bring in all the different information on incidents and show me root causes, and it just brings it all together in one space. So it's very much a metrics tool.
Yeah.
I've also been digging more into Grafana, which can be fun.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with the new boss, my job is changing. And I did get my role change finally, so now I am...
Oh, yeah. There you go.
VP.
Vice President. Mm. Look at you.
Mm-hmm. Oh. This needs to come with a raise now.
Right?
Had fun for my 20th anniversary.
That's awesome.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you. It was Monday. Yeah.
Yep.
Lots of fun.
Let's stayed see, home, 2023. Watch the world freeze. Yes. I think we'll be 27 next year, I think. I have to figure it out.
So we guess for your anniversary, you had to give your wife a tablet running Windows.
No, I just did that.
For your anniversary?
No.
Just to do.
Just to do
20,
it.
Just for the fun.
26 years this year.
You should give her a tablet and give her a Windows disk and said, have at it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the different Windows USBs and say, good luck getting one of those to work.
Oh, now I remember, because Dan
20
and I,
years down the drain.
That's it.
Dan and I just emailed about it.
I didn't know if he wanted to bring it up or not, Joel.
They're downstairs. They can't hear me. My son's taking a class on basically, well, I think it's supposed to be like a computer literacy class, all right, for his college. But it's very focused on, of course, Microsoft products and specifically Microsoft, 365, which I think is the new name from Office 365.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it has this simulator, all right, that, I don't know if these are tests or if they're like part of his homework or something, but basically, it does this simulation of, like, a Windows desktop, alright? But then, it doesn't let you do, it's not freeform. It's more or less a picture of the desktop.
And you can only click on the things that it knows that you're supposed to click on.
Exactly. And it is a mess.
Is it flash-based?
I don't think so. It's all done by Pearson, which is if you've taken any recent certifications, be it Microsoft, AWS, or I don't know if Google uses them too, but a lot of these certification places for even like I'm trying to remember what's another one like the A plus certification probably uses it. I know all the Microsoft certifications do, and now as of 2023, all the AWS uses Pearson for the testing, All right. This is a little different than that, but it still sucks. I mean, it's just as awful. Like I was up till 3 or 4 failing my, AWS test, because, their software just didn't work, you know? Yeah, and not to mention the fact the proctors, since I was taking it after normal people are in bed, or of course all in Bangalore are very, very literal. So you literally had to clean like your entire desktop off. Luckily Luke doesn't have to do something like that for this, but, it actually, so like, you know, like it might say, okay, we want you to run Windows Update. All right. So I'm like, what's my first place to go for Windows Update? I want to click
the super key and type update.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly how I would do it. No, they wanted you to go down to the Windows Action Center, you know, that little like text message looking thing in the Windows desktop.
No, I'm good.
By the clock, click there and go to Windows Update that way. And it's like,
no, I'm
who
good.
Would ever do that?
Evidently Windows users.
No, evidently the people who wrote this course. you know, and, it was awful. But it's really awful when my wife, who's been a Windows user far longer than my son, couldn't figure it out either. And she was helping him do it. So.
At least I didn't install Windows 11 on that tablet.
You didn't? You went 10?
Yeah. I don't know if it'll run 11 or not, and I didn't feel like fighting with it.
That's a good question. I think it would.
Probably, but I wasn't going to fight with it.
Right.
When Windows auto-updates it, it auto-updates it.
Right, that's true. So, but...
So I put 10 on there because that's guaranteed to work, and then if 11 works, it'll update when it updates.
Right. I will say this, at least from our corporate level, like if you got a Windows laptop, you're using that same version of Windows and pretty much, and I think, unless they figured out they need to start supporting Windows updates past 11. Well, 11 is still the latest, but you know, 11.
It's gonna be a while before it has to be.
Right, but. When I sent my Windows laptop back after I got my Mac, it was still running Windows 10, and I had been running Windows 11 for well over a year. So on the Mac OS, you know, they were still behind, but they were not that far behind, and everything worked. You know, well, okay, let me clarify that. Almost everything worked. When I went to go open Chrome right after the upgrade to Ventura, it would not let me open Chrome. I had to fix Chrome by just reinstalling it. And once I reinstalled it, it was just fine. Go figure. I don't know why that happened, but... 'Cause I'm gonna be honest, I don't use Safari. It's an okay browser, but I don't use it. And why would I want to use it, especially since I can't use it anywhere else but my iDevices? Because it used to be on Windows, and they got rid of that.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, you know, why do I want to even try it? I don't. Google or Firefox, you know? And definitely not Edge, unless I'm on a Windows server, and that's all I got.
Vivaldi, baby!
Isn't Vivaldi. Edge just Chromium? With a skin?
Now, yes. So it's not completely awful like it was. Or like
still
its
pretty
predecessor.
Bad.
Yeah, I agree. It is. I just don't like it. Never have. But, you know, so it's like, you know, and that like goes to thing, like I came across a video from, you ever watch any videos from Snazzy Labs, Dan?
I never even heard of Snazzy Labs.
Yeah, he's definitely a Mac head, but he makes other videos too. Like he made one on his Tesla and stuff like that. You know, he ran a video that had all these macOS utilities that you can run on top of it that cost less than $10 each. And some of the ones he put on there, I'm like, I wouldn't spend $5 on that. You want me to spend $8? No, I'm not going to buy that. It's just funny when the certain people who have more money than sense will buy all these stupid little utilities to do basic things. But
things that you could do for free on Linux?
Or anything else. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is one other little thing that I discovered. I had to put another flag in when I was using a SCP to get a file off a server in the Mac terminal.
You were using what?
SCP, secure copy.
I know what SCP was.
Right. So
it's
dead
now.
How's SCP dead? Secure copy through SSH?
Yeah, it's supposed to not be in... I thought it was phased out like 2 years ago.
Nah, not Mac OS.
Oh, not in Mac OS.
No. Not in Linux either. You can run it on Linux all day. But I had to tell it to use the RSA key, I think, or something. RSA formatted key, I think, in a flag before it can get to work. But yeah, secure copy is still used quite a bit out there.
Wasn't it replaced?
All right. I thought they removed it, but I'm not seeing that when I do a search for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never heard
of
it.
But what command am I thinking of that got removed a couple of years ago?
Was it SFTP?
It might have been SFTP.
That could be.
I thought it was the other way around. SFTP had taken over.
Versus SCP has been replaced with an SSH backend.
So
yeah,
SCP
it was always part, but it's still the same command. At least from Mac OS and a couple others. It's still almost the same protocol too. So, yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of people are saying that SFTP is the replacement for SCP. So SCP...
Depends what you want to do, but yeah.
Is deprecating the SCP protocol.
Interesting. Doesn't matter, we're still running RHEL 6 anyway.
You can still use SCP safely if you open up your own SSH tunnel.
They're what, replacing? They're going with SFTP over SCP?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah,
but in a lot of cases, I mean, it's as easy as create an alias because they both use the same command structure.
Right. And on the page I just found on Red Hat's website, OpenSSH SCP deprecation in RHEL 9, what you need to know. The SCP command line tool uses the SFTP protocol for transfers by default. Usage of SCP protocol can be restored using the newly added -o option. So the protocol is not there, but...
You're not supposed to use it anymore.
Well... Tell that to corporate. Yeah, we still have RHEL 6 on some servers too. I won't say discovered, but we discovered there were some issues when the engineering team went to go do a server upsize from one type of AWS instance to another type. So, in what we found out is with RHEL 6, you pretty much can't go from we had someone going from C4 to AM5, on AWS, and Linux didn't like that. So they had to choose something that was still in the four series of AWS instance types. And the big differences there are the hardware. So like, increase in RAM, increase in CPU, so on and so forth. It's called scaling up. So, and they didn't find that out until after they already did it. And then when we spent hours trying to make the AMI, the restore from an AMI to work. And that didn't work either. So, they finally went back and up and downsized it back to a four series, and then it worked. So, that's when I ended up spending my whole day, and I talked way too much about AWS. But. One of these days I should actually build something on AWS personally just for the heck of it. I just don't know what I'd build. Mm-hmm.
It's getting kind of late, though.
You know what? I just a little correction. I was just reviewing the Docker pricing.
Yep.
I was wrong. It's not $5 per team. It's $9 per person for the team. Although it's kind of weird. Like, you look at their pricing and it says $9 per user per month. With an asterisk, you look down at the bottom, start with a minimum 5 users for $25. I don't understand how that works. If it's $9 per user per month, 5 users should be $45, but they're saying it's $25, or billed annually for $300. That math doesn't add up, I don't know. And it sucks because, like, all we want is the Docker desktop shit. We don't want all that extra crap that you have to get with the other stuff. Anyway.
Well, so that part of Docker, I mean, everything else in Docker is open source, but that part isn't.
Well... So with the personal one, you get Docker Engine, Docker CLI, Docker Compose, Kubernetes, volume management, Docker extensions. Like, I don't know. It's a bunch of shit we won't use.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's interesting you brought that up too. They started sending out emails this week that, we use IBM's Big Fix to patch like literally everything, right? Windows, Mac, whatever. Okay. And, I get this email from IT. It says, "Hey, we detected that you still have Docker Desktop installed on your machine." And I'm like, maybe on my old Windows machine? You know, so I'm like, yeah, I don't have it installed on my Mac. You know, what are you talking about? And I said, my Mac's name is this. And I gave him the name of that corporate gave my Mac, the host name. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's your old laptop. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even have it anymore. And I don't even think the company has it because they probably got rid of it because it was 4 years old. You know, it's like... Yeah, you know, so I'm like, that was Jay-Z. He's like, out of all the emails we sent out, yours is the only one that was wrong. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. I don't know if we're gonna see, cause we, as a company, we are licensing it, but you have to ask procurement for one. And right now, I don't really need one in my new position, so, you know, because I won't be building a Docker, and they're not even, my old team's starting to work with it, but not even, they are close to building it yet. So, plus I'm trying to think of how much that my old team would actually build it, unless they're using it to build the SAS instances, and that's a little bit different, so. Which eventually we'll get to learn the SAS product because we're going to start catching some of the incidents and stuff for that. But in fact, I should probably read the documentation the boss sent me the other day. But lately we've been getting crushed with the reg updates. Fortunately, that ended yesterday. So because you're supposed to have your tax forms in the mail to people by yesterday.
Yeah, by the end of the month, January.
Yep.
I need to get all mine collected.
All mine are ready. So I think I had to look and see. I think I printed out the one I needed for my IRA. So
yeah, I've got to do the one for the mortgage. I've got to do one for the school loans. Helping my daughter pay off her school loans.
Right. Right.
Yes, I still have mine, but they're on hold for now. But the VA stuff, a couple other things that just need all put together. I'm a war vet. I shouldn't have to pay taxes. Leave me alone.
You know what? That's one thing where I'll agree with you on. Especially if you served in wartime.
Yep. Give people some incentive to join the military. Tell them they never have to pay taxes again.
You were in Iraq War Number 2, Electric Boogaloo?
That is correct. 2003. I did the walk from Doha to Baghdad.
Good. In I'm trying to remember.
I call it a walk, but I was in a launcher.
Amber Grainer, I think she was in Desert Storm when she served. She was in the Army. She did had to go.
I don't know who
on active duty. She is a community leader of. I'm trying to remember who the company she works for now. She used to be an Ubuntu community leader.
She was in the first Iraq.
Yep, I do believe so.
She was there when my dad was there.
She served
back
under...
when I was in, like, grade school.
Yeah, she served under Schwarzkopf, yeah. Yeah, she is... I know she listed. She is Vice President of Community and Marketing at Arikdo.
Alright, we gotta wrap this up. Holy moly. Yep. It's Joel's bedtime.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your February. Freeze, Joe. Get your workout.
Oh, I am. Yeah. I'm freezing and lifting heavy things to stay warm.
Yes. So enjoy your workouts, and we'll see you in a week for another exciting, fun-filled episode. So I guess that means, let's see, wait. Uh-huh. What's 6 days from now, Sunday. So Valentine's is on a Sunday this year?
That sucks.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah,
that means the restaurants are going to be slammed.
How did I screw that up? Oh, what am I thinking? Why did I think today was Monday?
Because it's Wednesday.
No, Valentine's
it's
is on
Tuesday.
A Tuesday.
Yeah.
Duh.
That's actually worse.
Works for me.
I don't care. We don't. It's like one of those things. Like, you know, people make big deals around here about Sweetest Day, and of course, everyone likes to make a big deal about Valentine's Day. My wife or like I are like we tell each other things, and do things for each other every day that shows our love. We don't need a day for it.
Yeah, it's just another excuse to buy candy.
Yeah.
Get yourself some diabetes, Joe.
I don't want any candy.
Diabetes.
I am currently on my second round of antibiotics because of sinus infections. And whenever I'm sick, my wife loves bringing me food to try and make me feel better. So I have been very, very much over my calories for 3 weeks now.
Well, that's nice of her.
Yeah.
At least you could install Windows on that tablet for her.
I did. I installed Windows on that tablet.
He did that.
I made it happen.
You could do. Good for you.
And I cook for my wife, so.
And, the kids eat some of my cooking. Jackie doesn't much like my cooking.
Well, because you're trying to make what, low-carby stuff.
Yeah, low calorie, high volume. I don't give a crap about the carbs.
Yeah.
But I got teenagers to fill up.
There you go.
That's expensive.
All right.
Play us out, man.
Here we go. Your promo.
I am short.
Oh my god. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mm.
Yeah. I gotta start showing my wife what good pizza really is. Last few times we've ordered pizza, my wife's like, "Can you get Pizza Hut?" I'm like, okay. Better than no pizza at all, I guess. Prefer my local stuff. Haven't found a good pho place down here yet.
Well,
I probably should just learn how to make it myself.
It's not that hard.
No, it's not.
I've done it. It tastes so good.
Mm-hmm. And I think when I go to the store, I'm going to try and look. Well, I need to get just a regular jar of jalapenos anyway, you know, because I like to eat them. But a couple people I know have been trying the candied jalapenos, which I imagine would also be good.
Alright, I'm stopped the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel. They were good.
Crotch pot fajitas.
Crock pot, you know, like cook all day shit.
Would it turn into ropa vieja?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just shredded. Tasted good, though.
That's all that matters, right?
Then the other day, what did I do? I found a recipe to do meatloaf in the crock pot. Actually, actual loaf shape, not just kind of like, you know, crock pot shape. It was keto too, so used, like instead of like cracker crumbs, it used a flaxseed meal for the filler part of it. And about a pound of hamburger, a quarter pound of sausage, some spices and stuff, and then a low carb sauce for the top of it. Spicy, pretty good. Only ate out yesterday, and that's because I had a 8-hour incident that I was a part of. Well, my team that did it.
evidently, on my day off, there was a like 24-hour plus MI. Like, why didn't you call me?
Right? No, in this case, what happened is basically a failed change. And instead of hitting up the platform team who knows the AWS instance types better than we do, they decided to restore the AMI and try and bring them up after that happened. Well, that failed. You know, that's where I got pulled in, is they were trying to make that work. And then at the end of that, the platform guy speaks up and says, well, you can go from this to this. It might cost a little bit more money because you'll give them a little bit more processors, but you'll get them up and running. You know, and I'm like, shouldn't they done that like 8 hours ago? I'm like, thanks for wasting my entire day. So really the last few days has just been, today wasn't too bad. It was just a lot of little onesie twosie stuff after 5 o'clock I had to pick up just to clean up. But, so I'm on call like every 3 weeks. Which kind of sucks, but it's just a fact of life. Printing another frog box today.
They're really useful, aren't they?
Well, I'll tell you when I actually start really using one. I will, though. Actually, the one I'm printing now, not from the same STLs. I found one that was a thinner design altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll fit in. I have my new backpack has these two relatively deep pockets. So I'm going to make one for either side, and that way I can just put, like, any little loose stuff, I'll put in that.
Cool.
You know, like cables and shit like that. Although I do have a bag specifically for those that goes in, that I bought with
send
my
me
new
the
backpack.
Link for the
yeah,
one that
I'll
you're printing now.
Yeah, it's virtually the same design, just a little bit thinner. And more scalable. And they literally call it a frog box.
Yeah. I've been working on designing a bottom mount.
Nice.
Basically an under tray for my little 1GX laptop, my little 7-inch laptop. I've been using the game controller slots on the side to mount like USB ports to USB hubs, but now I want to move those to the bottom and put it on a bit of an elevated tray, kind of a laptop stand.
Cool. This isn't the one I'm printing now, but you'll still like it. This is one designed to hold a 96 bits, screwdriver bits. You'll definitely like that one.
Oh yeah.
I don't see the thing I'm afraid of with that one. Looking at it is it tight enough against the bits to keep them in their slots? Or that? Yeah.
I have one printed out that is for the Gridfinity, because I like Gridfinity.
Right.
But I got the bits into it. Now I can't get the bits out of it.
Okay, yeah. That too.
it's a problem. But it might also be that it's, you know, really cold in Texas right now.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the one. I think... Yeah, this is the one. I found it.
Like, with that one with the bit holder, I think it could be too loose without a problem because it's got a lid.
Right, right.
But too tight? Yeah.
Well, it just depends on will they flip out everywhere. I think the other thing I would do, too, is I might pull the if I printed that 96-bit thing there, I would probably pull it in the Tinkercad and put an indent on the lid so that I can feel which side by feel.
Right. I need to open opening it upside down, yeah. Well, the latches will tell you. The latches should
That's
tell
true.
You that.
That's true. That's true. But it's the same
No,
kind
I think
of...
I printed this one too.
Did you? Okay.
See that, or it was one that was like really similar.
Yeah. And I'm printing this one. I got another spool of Inland PLA Plus from, well, I ordered it on Amazon. I guess I'm just too late to go to Micro Center, but bone white color.
Yeah, I'm not leaving the house right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I heard it was pretty cold there.
Yeah, the world is frozen. Well, see, this morning and yesterday, it was like a, you know, winter wonderland, snow on the ground type of thing. But then, like, today, midday-ish, running up to the evening, everything kind of melted and then refroze. So now it's just ice.
Yeah.
That you can't really see.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas drivers and ice don't mix.
They don't.
Stay home, people. But work is called, and they've said the exact same thing. Don't come into work tomorrow morning. They also said it today. But don't come into work. Stay at home. Work from home. Do what you can. But the other thing about, you know, Dallas is you get cold like this. Or if you get extreme heat, the power goes out. So,
yep. Did you lose any this time?
No, we're on a grid that is like on first responders as well.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So we get highest priority with actually staying on. Now, it has gone off before, not this time around, but in previous times when similar things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't last very long for us.
Right.
Well, I think I want to do something with this design, but I maybe some modifications. Make it fit on my Gazelle.
Oh, that's nice. See, yeah. Now, see, I like the idea of that, but because it sticks out from the desk, I would probably bump into it and spill my shit.
Yeah, the thing is that you can modify this so that it doesn't have to be on the edge of the desk. As long as you can, like, cut out from where the adapter is, where that it slides into, and then something else there, you know. I just need to measure the holes in the top of my Gazelle. Where the rubber pieces, like, fit in to close it off. Because I've already pulled one off, drilled a hole through, and put a phone mount into it. I want to take the other one out, 3D print a replacement, and stick this on there.
Oh, so you got that Tony What's-His-Face's Gazelle thing?
Yeah. They're cheap. They fit in my garage. They fold up.
Yeah. Okay, I can see how this would be useful then. For a desk, no, I don't like the idea, but I did print off something similar though, a headphone hanger. That's where.
Oh, I have tons and tons of headphone hangers.
Yeah. It's just my I'd love to find a different headset that will last a long time as well as be comfortable instead of covering my ears. But
oh, because I have like earrings that go around the cartilage, I do want something that, you know, goes around my ears as opposed to on my ears.
Yep. You know, it's very much a personal preference thing.
Yeah. I prefer like for me, the Razor Naris.
Yeah. What works for some people won't work for others. I don't mind in-ear stuff, but I haven't found a in-ear one that I would really like for calls.
Yeah, you're not really gonna find an in-ear one for a computer that's worth a damn anyway.
I mean, I haven't tried it, but I guess I could try my AirPods, but just to see how they sound on a Zoom.
I never like Bluetooth quality. I mean, especially for voice. I mean, maybe for listening to the call, and if you have like an actual like mic hooked up to your computer.
Yeah, you could do that. I could unplug my, the original Yeti I had, is pretty much shot, but this is, and I got both my Yetis for free, when I was writing for Gear Diary. So I had the one I'm using now, which is the one I use for my podcast, not for this one. Before, because this one I like to be really comfortable, sit in my recliner. The one I use for my show is the XLR version of the Blue Yeti. So, but I don't use the XLR inputs, I use the USB, because it does both. And I've got it on the arm hanging over the desk. One of these days I should get a real shock mount for it with the... The one, like a shock mount for the Yeti that you can also put like a pop filter on front. But right now, yeah. I have one, but it's one of those retrofit ones, and doesn't really. It works, but it's a pain in the ass.
The Yeti's nice.
The Yeti is a nice microphone, yeah. Especially when you crank the gain all the way down to almost nothing.
Well, and it's nicer than, like, the Snowball.
Yeah, that's true. I do have a board and an interface somewhere. I have used it before.
I like my HyperX.
Yeah.
But it does pick up everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that Yeti... If you keep the gain cranked relatively down... It does a better job, as I've learned, because I did used to use the older Yeti I had for the podcast, and I didn't like that one. Was a little bit more sensitive than this one, it seems, but this one's not too bad. Nor is my Logitech headset. And for Zoom sessions, I don't like to use this headset because, I usually, like if I'm in a long, like, speechifying call like it was today, I like to get up and walk around the house.
Yeah.
And, cause I'm not, you know, these slides don't do me any good because I'm like, yeah, I don't really care. Like today they were like marketing, and I'm like, why do your technical people care about the marketing? I mean, I kind of get it, so that we're on message, but
yeah.
And I'm like, tell me how my life's going to be better, or how I'm gonna be assured that I have a job in 2 years. You know,
that's marketing, baby. If they can market more, you'll have a job.
Yeah.
Condom well, school's into getting your product.
See, and that's well. Don't get me started on that.
Look at that.
Don't get me started on that, man.
Look at Joel. Tell it's a product. It's a con. That's terrible. We should get the show started. It's $390.
We should.
$390.
Almost 9 o'clock is what you're saying. 8:45.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.